Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Thanks for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. On the program today, we have the conclusion of a segment that we began last time. Our hope is that you'll find it challenging and informative, and that you'll listen to it with the knowledge that you can have full confidence in Christ, trusting Him as Savior and Lord. We also ask that as you listen, you prayerfully consider coming alongside Ware's Valley Ranch and supporting this ministry to children in crisis through a tax-deductible donation. To find out more about how you can help, call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit us online at wvr.org. Again, thanks for listening, and now we join the broadcast.
Jesus said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Now, is that because Jesus didn't do any signs? No, Jesus did lots of signs. But he's talking about those who don't want to believe. If you don't want to believe, you're not going to see it. An atheist is willfully ignorant. Romans 1 says they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. The firmament shows forth His handiwork. Day after day pours forth speech. Night after night shows knowledge. You can't live on this planet and honestly think it's all by chance. It just somehow, poof, happened. Maybe it took a long time to get here, but you know, I think it's all an accident. Yes, study the way an eye works. Study the inner ear of a human. Study the radar system of a bat. And if you think that's all by chance, you're either not being honest or you're clinically insane. Okay? I mean, you don't have to be intelligent to recognize the evidence for the Creator is all around us, calling to us. Jesus said, if you have that attitude, you're not going to get a sign. And then he left them, got back in the boat and crossed the other side of the lake. And on the way over, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. On the way over in the boat, the disciples realized, Who brought the bread? I thought you were bringing the bread. Did you bring the bread? Whose day was it? Let me check my phone. Okay. They realized they had forgotten to bring bread. All they had was one loaf for less than 15 people. It's not enough. My wife sometimes pokes fun at me because I like to shop at Costco and buy large quantities of things. And the reason is because this week we've had one guy who spent several nights, three ladies who spent one night. A week ago tonight, we had 16 mentors plus Susan and me and my son Paul all to be fed the evening meal. We just entertain people a lot. And in the course of doing so, I always like to have leftovers. I think that's a Jesus kind of thing. Okay? And so, you know, I don't ever want people to be going around the island getting food out of the dish and think, oh, well, I don't want to take the last of it. I want them to come and say, wow, there's plenty left, and get as much as they want. I mean, that's the way I think it's supposed to be. There should be abundance because God is that kind of a God. But one loaf for the 12 plus Jesus plus if there was anybody else, give them credit, there might have been somebody else tagging along. I don't think that's enough. It's going to be cutting it close. Okay? What are we going to do? Go to Costco. You know, is there a Costco? What are we going to do? They should have been able to do the math and figure out that if Jesus could feed all those people with 7 loaves, he could probably make 1 loaf last for this group in the boat. But you see, all those things Jesus did were for more than feeding crowds. It was to reveal who he is and teach his disciples, don't worry about this stuff. And what I love about this is that in the other situations, it wasn't the disciples' fault that they didn't have enough. In this situation, it was their fault. And Jesus therefore said to them, look, guys, I'm willing to feed the crowd that's been listening to me for 3 days, but you forgot to bring bread, so you're going to have to go without. I'm sorry, maybe that's not what he said. Jesus said to them, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They heard the word yeast and immediately thought, I know what he's talking about. They discussed this with each other and said, it's because we have no bread. Okay? They thought they understood him. They didn't at all. Completely misunderstood. Jesus was aware of their discussion. We had the privilege of going in a boat that's perhaps about the size of the kind of boats that Jesus and the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee went in. And I'll tell you this, it was large enough that people could have a conversation at that end of the boat and not know what was being said at this end. Okay? You could see they were talking, but you couldn't really tell exactly what they were saying. It was a wonderful experience. I recommend traveling to Israel if you get the opportunity. But Jesus, I love the way Mark writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, aware of their discussion. Do you think Jesus is aware of your discussions? Do you think he knows what's on your mind? The psalmist says, before a word is on my tongue, you know it altogether. God knows what we say. God knows what we think. God knows what we're gonna say before we know what we're gonna say. God knows everything.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Jesus was aware of their discussion, and he asked them, why are you talking about having no bread. Do you not understand? I'm telling you to beware of the yeast, the sin of the Pharisees and that of Herod. And you're focused on what are we going to eat next? I am at that stage in my life. Okay? I just, you know, I'm not starved, but I'm saying to my wife, did you have something in mind for lunch? Okay? That's kind of the next milestone. When I pastored in Atlanta, the senior adults would come to a dinner that was at 5:30, around 4:30. Okay? Because they didn't want to be late. Okay? You get to a stage in life, and that's the, you know, that's the highlight of your day is what you eat. Well, Jesus says, you are missing it, guys. Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Don't you remember? And he walks them through what he did. How many baskets full did you pick up? 12, they replied. And what was this? How many did you pick up? 7. Do you still not understand? So I want to ask us all a question this morning. Do we understand? The world is trying not to panic. What are we going to do? We're going to do whatever God says. Nothing to worry about. But I have known Christians to lose their fortune. Really? How'd you know that? Well, they told me about it. Oh, so they didn't die when it happened. Right? You mean it's possible to have financial reversals? I know people who have lost more than one fortune. You understand? It's okay. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You and I don't have anything to worry about. So, Pastor, are you saying you think because of the midterm election we're going to have a different regime in Washington and the economy's going to turn around? I think the world is going to hell in a hurry. And even though I really like it when times are prosperous and when my lifestyle is easy, that doesn't matter. What matters is doing the will of God. That's what matters. Everything else goes away. If Elon Musk reached out to me and said, Jim, I have been watching your program on the internet. I've given my life to Jesus, and I want to give you $1 billion as a thank you. I'd say, nah, no, don't worry about it. No, I'd say, wow, Susan, that was Elon Musk. And she'd say, you think that was really Elon Musk? I'd say, oh, well, I guess I should have asked for some verification. You know, what's the password? Boy, if I got $1 billion, that would be really cool. But what happens if the Guidestone people, where a lot of Baptists put their account so that in retirement you know your investments are not going to be in casinos and booze and things like that. What if they reach out and they say, Mr. Wood, we just found out that we've been hacked and all the money has been transferred to some encrypted account overseas and you don't have any more retirement money. I'd say, Susan, that was Guidestone. They said, my money's all gone. I know my wife. She'd say, well, it wasn't ours to begin with. Because it isn't. Back in 2011, 2012, I had a real stressful time where in order to not be on salary at the ranch, I, back in 1997, set up a separate ministry, and that's what pays me, okay? So now the ranch, thank you is contributing to that fund, but for many, many years, the ranch was not giving to Jim Wood Ministries because I didn't want them to. The reason we set it up was separate. And in 2011, I was without income to Jim Wood Ministries, basically. So Jim Wood Ministries had some money to pay me, but there was nothing else coming in. You know, it was all going out. That's not reassuring. And so I began to pray and say, Lord, if there's sin in my life, I want to repent. Please show me what's going on. Silence. I did something finally in August of that year that I don't usually do, and that is I wrote to our handful of supporters for Jim Wood Ministries, and I said, I really need your help. If you can help, please send a gift. I can't do the cricket sound or I would do that right now. Person who'd previously given $15,000 sent $1,500. God, what is going on? And I began to think, well, maybe the ranch was doing fine, but Jim Wood Ministries wasn't. And I thought, well, maybe I'm going to die. Because if I die, I'm fine, and my family will get all that insurance. So maybe that's it. Is that it? Silence. I'm fasting and praying and going for hikes to talk to God and driving in my car and crying out to the Lord and saying, show me what's going on. I thought, at this rate, we're going to be out of money in February. Maybe Jesus is coming in February. We don't need more money for Jim Wood Ministries that the pagans can take when we're gone. Maybe that's it. Huh? Nothing. I thought, well, I guess maybe I'm going to have to get a job doing something else. And in late November, on a Sunday morning, as I'm about to get out of the shower, God asked me a question. It wasn't an audible voice, but it might as well have been, because I answered in an audible voice. It was that clear. God said, if you were going to work for somebody else, who would you want to work for? And I said, Billy Graham. It's just what came out. I thought, well, that was weird. I dried off. I got dressed. I put on a suit I hadn't worn in months. And I felt something in my hip pocket. And I reached in my pocket. And it was a brochure from the Billy Graham Organization. So I said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. So I reached out to the Billy Graham Organization, left a phone message, and said, this is Jim Wood. I'm friends with the Graham family. If you would like for me to come and help you guys with something, please let me know. I'd like to make myself available for that. Okay, I'll tell him. You know what happened after that? God poured in income. I mean, he poured. It was our second best year ever for Jim Wood Ministries. Immediately after I did what God had been preparing me to be willing to do. When I did what God said, which was to call the Graham Organization and offer my services, God said, okay, now here comes the money. And God sent in the money. All needs were met. And I thought, well, now I don't need to work for the Billy Graham Organization. Thank you. But God had a project he wanted me to do with the Graham Organization for a couple of years that I never would have thought about offering myself for if it weren't for the fact that I was thinking, I've got to find other work. Why am I telling you that story? Because I don't know what God is doing in each of your lives, but God knows what he's doing in each of your lives. And all we have to do is whatever he says. And if you're not sure what he wants you to do, leave it with him. Say, Lord, I'm not sure what you want me to do, but if you'll show me, I want to do it. And then be prepared. Because he may tell you, sit down. Oh, well, I was asking where to go. Sit down. Do what he tells you. Miracles happen. And if you realize, oh my word, I made a mistake. This isn't God's fault. Well, you're right about that. I forgot to bring bread. Remember that Jesus said, don't worry. Even when you mess up, I will take care of you. You are mine. I love you. I died for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We're not dealing with somebody here who says, okay, if you do everything right, I'm going to watch you this next week, and if you do everything right, then I'll bless you. No. This is one who, while we were yet sinners, died for us. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are dearly loved by God. If you are trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your future is absolutely secure. Well, so what if there's a nuclear war? What if there is? Well, we could suffer a direct hit when they're aiming for Oak Ridge. Yeah? You know, Russian missiles are not always on target. Or so they would have us to believe when they continue to bomb civilian sites in Ukraine. What if it does hit Oak Ridge and we just get the fallout and then we have to deal with radiation sickness? What if it does? What do you want to die from? Okay? I was hoping for arterial sclerosis. You know, really? What? Don't worry about it. There's nothing to worry about. God is in control. He'll take care of you. He promised. I've got a precious friend who was given a very short life expectancy years ago. The doctors said, you know what stage 4 cancer is, right? Yes. Well, if there was a stage 5, that's what you've got. So this person decided, I'm just going to lay down and die. No. They decided, I'm going to live every moment to the fullest. And now, years later, they're still living every moment to the fullest for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God knows what you need. And even if you make a mistake, God's able to handle that. He deals with people who make mistakes a lot. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Your love and grace are more magnificent than we can comprehend. And over and over and over and over, you have blessed us and blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. We give you thanks. We've gathered here to worship you. And we want to recognize in this time and in this place the fact that there would be no hope for us if not for the fact that Jesus came. And Jesus took our place. He took our punishment. He took everything that we deserved in the way of your wrath. And he did it out of love. Thank you, Lord. Help us now to receive with joy these tokens of your grace and remember the price that was paid for our salvation. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.